Welcome to Wise and Nice, a true crime podcast with your hosts
Danny Armstrong
and Kelly Lee.
Please remember that we mean no disrespect to anyone mentioned in this episode or across any of the Wise and Nice platforms. We have an interest in true crime and related topics, and whilst we may offer our own personal views on certain items, it is meant to be educational and as light-hearted as possible. The information we present is collated from research gathered from the internet, and we reference and credit our sources wherever possible.
If you've liked what you've heard and want to join in with us, follow us on our socials, Instagram, Wives and Knives the Pod, Twitter, at Knives Wives, and Facebook, Wives and Knives Pod. We also have a little website where we post photographs and other information about the cases that we research. And this is wivesandknives.wixsite.com/my site.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Wives and Knives.
Yes, hello everybody.
I hope you're all doing well out there. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, not bad at all.
You're good. I am good. And I've done something really cool that I'm going to share with any listeners that care to hear this. My favourite thing that I've done in the past couple of weeks, and I've not told you this either, so it's
Live
excitement. So I've been going to a personal trainer at the gym. I bought like a little block booking, and she's been teaching me how to lift really heavy things without injuring myself. And this week, I got like a few different PBs, but some of them aren't that impressive because my upper body is feeble, but my legs so fucking strong and I'm so proud of myself. So when I started with this PT, I was putting 10 plates on this leg press machine, so 10 on either side, and the weight of the machine is 75. So I've been pressing 95 kilograms.
Wow.
So 95 kilograms is about 13, 14 stone, something like that.
Sure.
No, don't be impressed. Because a couple of weeks ago, she was like, right, we can push you further. I know you can do it, blah, 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 blah. I leg pressed 43 stone, 275 kilograms. And I felt like a fucking badass. Like, I was so proud of myself. And then on my last PT session, which is my second to last in my block, I was like, I want to see if I can do more. And I did more, and then I was like, I can do more, and I did more, and I did more. And then we looked at how much. So I'd done 375 kilograms. We looked it up, and it was like 59 stone. And I was like, that's shit, I want to do 60. So she put some more on. So I leg pressed 381 kilograms, which is just 60 stone. And I was so impressed with myself. So there we go. That's my cool thing that I've done.
Wow, well done.
Got very strong legs. I can deadlift on a hex bar, which is where you're like lifting at your sides, 100 kilograms, which is about 15 stone. And that's the best I can do on that. But it's took a lot of trying for me to get to that, so I'm happy with that as well.
Well done. That's
and
really
I like
cool.
Feeling strong.
Yeah.
I feel more able to fight all the predators that I read about now. I do think the amount of true crime that I consume makes me not scared, but like I'm very aware of risks at all times. And I like that I am getting stronger. That's my cool thing anyway. There we go. And obviously people are very welcome to skip past this bit. Anyway, Kelly, it is your case that you're covering this week, so please do tell us about it. I'm very excited because I've just been out of the loop. There we go.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did want to do a little bit of admin before we get started, if that's okay. I just wanted to say a couple of hellos because when we came back from our break, it was nice to see a couple of comments from some people. So I just wanted to say hi to Siobhan and Julia, who commented on Facebook. So that's really, really cute. Because we've been like recording out of sync for a while.
Totally. We're just busy gals.
Yeah, and it served us well pretty much until this week, really. because you, as you're already aware, the case that like I'd researched and prepared is now like pretty prominent, and we don't normally do like this up to date, do we? We usually,
just because things are changing all the time, it makes us less accurate.
Exactly. And when we planned to record this, this would have been like a couple of weeks ago, so it wouldn't have been like, the trial has only just begun. So you might have already guessed it's Lucy Letby. So I feel a bit like, and also I know there's another podcast that's just like done a little episode about it as well. So I feel like I don't like to be repetitive or do something similar.
Yeah.
So apologies, but I didn't really have time to come up with anything else.
No, if we had released this when we planned,
yeah,
it would have been so ahead of the trial, and it exactly just so happens it's not worked out that way.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if it's like, it does sound like a bit oversaturated maybe, but I am going to talk about Lucy Letby. But before we get to that case, I also wanted to say, like, hi to, we've had some new followers on the socials.
Lovely.
New listeners. So, yeah, hi, everybody. Thanks so much for giving us a go. And, you know, especially to those people that stay and come back every week. It's much appreciated. Yeah, so we didn't record last week and ended up putting out, like, a super old episode, which, like, when I was listening to it, I was like, wow, that's really... like, we've moved on a bit from there, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's great that we're getting back in sync again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there has been a lot happening in the world of true crime recently.
So much.
I think most listeners will be aware of the developments in the Leah Croucher case. We did mention Leah in one of our, like, little mini episodes quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's sad, but also good to have such a development, you know, especially for the family, I guess.
Yeah, so Leah Croucher is a young girl that went missing from Milton Keynes.
Yeah, February 15th, 2019.
Wow, honestly, I thought it was... a little bit more recent than 2019.
No, it's
time
like
flies
three,
when you're
yeah.
in a pandemic, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was Thurston in Milton Keynes. I've actually stayed there randomly. There's like a lake.
Ah. Oh, was that the lake you went to for fishing?
No, oh God, no. No. No.
Just another lake.
Yeah, and please, I'm not a fisher. Let's okay. not. Yeah. No, that was Devon. Yeah, no, this was ages and ages ago. I'd actually gone to watch a gig at the Milton Keynes Bowl and ended up staying at this place. Anyway, whatever. Off on a tangent.
That's it.
So, yeah, as you were saying, Leah was last seen in 2019, and the police did launch like quite a big investigation. I guess as usual in cases like Leah's, there was a lot of speculation, lots of theories, lots of sightings. It's a really sad case, and sadly Leah's brother took his own life because he couldn't, you know, handle it, and it obviously impacted the family massively. Last week, following a tip-off from a member of the public, a house was searched and human remains were discovered, along with some of Leah's personal belongings. And following on from that, like, a murder investigation was launched, and the force like named a sex offender called Neil Maxwell as the prime suspect. And he'd worked as a handyman at the, like, for the owner of the house, who lived abroad. And Maxwell was the only one who had, like, keys or access to this particular house. Perhaps tellingly, he was found dead on the 20th of April in 2019, again in Milton Keynes. And that's, like, just 2 months after Leah disappeared. So he'd actually been on the run in connection with another alleged, like, sexual assault from November 2018, and the police had, I think they'd like tried to arrest him like on 18 separate occasions. So like, it's a bit concerning really to think that perhaps, you know, if they had have managed to, you know, track him down.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of missed opportunities.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the level of like kind of connection between Leah and Maxwell, as far as, you know, we can tell at the moment. Dear God, Jonah, sounded terrifying. I think that's like the level of connection that can be seen between Maxwell and Leah Croucher, is that they didn't seem to have any connection.
Yeah.
So it sounds completely random.
I was quite surprised, just because people tend to know
the
person. It does all seem very random. It's so sad.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess as we've already implied throughout this section, the post-mortem that was carried out on the human remains was like, well, they were formally identified as being Leah. No official cause of death has been determined from the post-mortem as yet. Like, Leah's family are being supported by specialist officers, and our thoughts are with them. It's such an extremely sad time. It's kind of like that fine line, isn't it, between Suit being like absolutely devastated, obviously, but having that answer eventually, to, you know, especially because they didn't know what happened and where she was for such a long time, and now at least they have, I hope at least they have some peace from that.
I find it particularly sad because, I mean, some people might think this is like a good resolution, that the perpetrator is dead, but for me it's like he's not alive for justice
to be done. Exactly.
So
it's not nice, is it?
No, I don't think it is, but I can understand other people being like, oh, God is dead. But for me, I'm like, no, like, justice needs to be served. There needs to, do you know?
Yeah. And I think, again, it raises a lot of questions, because, and it came after a tip-off from a member of the public, so has that person known all along?
Yes, that knowledge, and maybe,
and with the police,
you know, loyalties have changed or something.
Yeah, the standard.
I would be interested to know how this has come about, but obviously,
still a difficult,
we'll only know
still developing as well, so no doubt we will hear more as time goes on. So on to the main don't wink at me like that. On to the main case. I feel like we should interject here. It's Saturday night, we don't normally record on a Saturday night. We've had lovely tea, haven't we? But then Danny forced me to watch Strictly and bloody, what was it called?
Can you see my voice?
Can you see my voice? Yeah.
With Paddy McGuinness, which is, if you don't know, it's a lip syncing, are they really a good singer or a bad singer game show. It's bizarre. We didn't know what we were even watching, but by the end of it,
it sucked
me
in.
We were hooked. So it's a lot later than we usually record.
Yeah, so we're both a bit tired, so soldering on. Okay, so I'm sure everyone's aware of what's happening with Lucy Letby. Well, Danny's shaking her head.
I'm very ill-informed.
Okay.
I feel like when I'm interested in something, I'm really interested in it, and I'll go down dark holes and all this, but I'm also not, I don't read newspapers. I don't know if that makes me like ignorant.
No, I don't think you're ignorant.
I feel like I don't, the news is very, I don't know the most up-to-date things. Things that are going on now, normally either you tell me about or my husband tells me about, it's like, there's this crime case that's happening, whereas I'm still like re-listening to something about JonBenet Ramsey from 5 years ago.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You're definitely much better at knowing what's happening in the world than I.
Well, I feel like I've have been hyper-focusing on this case for quite a while now, just because I find it really, I find these kind of killer nurses, you know, slash angel of death cases really, like, interesting, like, the psychology of it. I can't get my head around why somebody would want to hurt somebody and then get, like, pleasure from it. Like,
yeah, especially when they're, like, within their duty of care.
Yeah, especially when it's somebody, like, in a position of power as well. I just, I find it a bit, and like, you know, obviously when kids are involved, it's just not very nice at all, is it?
No, not
I find that quite hard. Yeah, so let's talk about Lucy Letby. So Lucy Letby is accused of murdering 8 children and the attempted murder of 10 more. Now, I don't know if that might have changed, because I did read something earlier that said she was, like, it was 20 victims, but perhaps, I know a couple of victims did survive alleged attacks, so we'll go into that a little bit later. But if Lucy Letby is found guilty of these murders, then that would actually make her Britain's most prolific child killer.
Wow.
Yeah. So at the time of writing this, Lucy's trial was due to start at Manchester Crown Court, and that did go ahead. That was on October the 4th. So it is set to last around 6 months, but who knows? It could, you know, it depends on evidence and experts, etc. So let's go through what we know about Lucy Letby and the charges against her. So Lucy Letby was born on the 30th of December 1990 to parents John and Susan Letby in Hereford, England. And she is an only child. Lucy had, you know, a nice childhood. She was adored by her middle-class parents, and she didn't really want for anything. She attended the local primary school and then the high school, where she's noted as being a model student who was popular with, like, her classmates. So from quite an early age, Lucy, you know, wanted, like, clearly made out to her parents, she wanted to be a nurse. And as she, like, grew, she embodied, I guess, all the attributes of, you know, what would one would say is a good nurse. So she, you know, was very caring, she supported and worked for charitable causes. She was very, like, supportive of her friends and family.
Already this, like, freaks me out a little bit, because when I know somebody has committed, or it is likely that they have committed, I know the trial's not happened yet, but such despicable acts. For some reason, I want you to tell me, like, they had an awful childhood and like there's been some telltale signs or something, but everything you're telling me, I'm like, oh god, like, it sounds so idyllic. And that's,
like, I'm full disclosure, I am so on the fence with this case, like, genuinely.
Really?
For part of that reason, I can't find any red flags. All I can find is good things, like past colleagues.
That's what's freaking me out. Like, because I feel like if it's got this far, I don't know, I was going to say if it's got this far, she must be guilty, but that's not how it works, so.
Well, I know exactly what you mean.
But I just Googled her and the media have decided she's guilty.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. But I don't want to give too much of my opinion away until towards the end. But so far, I completely agree with what you're saying. So, yeah, so as I said, Lucy wanted to be a nurse from an early age. And so when she announced that she was going to do, like, her nursing degree, it came as little surprise to anybody. So she attended the University of Chester and she graduated in 2011. Her proud parents placed her photograph in the local paper, like, congratulating her on her achievement.
That's cute.
It is. Lucy's first role straight like after graduating was at the Liverpool Women's Hospital, and she was said to be like well liked and respected there by staff and colleagues. She worked there for a few years before she got a job at the Countess of Chester Hospital as a neonatal nurse. So Lucy had also worked there as a student nurse, like on one of her placements, while she'd been at university. And it was said that this was like Lucy's dream job. So like she'd always wanted to be a nurse, but she like particularly wanted to work with babies, like, and children in general. Like, much like it was her dream job, it would seem like from the outset that she was like the dream nurse. Like, she had a perfect clean record with the Nursing and Midwifery Council, and she so embodied this perfect nurse like ideal that she was chosen as like the poster child for this like multi-million campaign to build like a brand new paediatric unit in 2013. All the, you know, marketing. Yeah, it was her face on everything. Wow. Lucy continued to work in the paediatric unit. You know, she did like extra training. Like, she wanted to develop herself and her skills. Like, maybe she wanted to work towards being a specialist nurse on, like, within the unit. I don't know. A few years later, in 2015, the paediatric unit began to experience like a really heartbreaking phenomenon. So from June of that year, 2015, to June of the following year, 2016, babies like being cared for by the doctors and the nurses on this particular paediatric unit were dying like in worrying numbers. And like none of, you know, like the doctors or any of the other staff could figure out like what was going on. So they actually, the hospital actually called in the police to investigate the deaths at the hospital. But this was a few years, like about a year later, like so 2017. But they were hoping to like be able to get to the bottom of everything. Like, it could, you know, they didn't automatically jump to a member of staff.
Right.
So the police do like a really thorough investigation, and it's obviously challenging for everybody involved, like especially the parents and the families of the victims. So it's unclear what happened within the neonatal unit at this time in terms of the police investigation, like the specifics, like Lucy, her behaviour and how she was performing as a nurse. But in late 2017, early 2018, Lucy is suspended at work and she stays off for like a little bit. And then she's allowed to come back, but it's only on like administrative duties. Yeah, like, so she has no interaction with any patients or anything. And we can speculate about why that was, but ultimately, like, she was now in like a non-patient contact role. And I have read more recently that that was due to a doctor who had, you know, witnessed a few things, and due to the high death rate had raised concerns about Lucy. Okay. So basically the members of staff are aware and are starting to suspect something. So Lucy's officially arrested on 3rd of July in 2018, and that's around a year after the police started this investigation into the deaths. Now, she's released pending further inquiries, and then she's rearrested in June of 2019. And once again, she's released pending further inquiries. And that leads me to believe they've not got enough evidence.
Yeah.
But then, so she's re-released again, and then she is rearrested on the 10th of November 2020.
This has been such a long investigation. Exactly. This has been going on for a very long time, hasn't it?
It has. So if we jump ahead, like, as I said, her trial started probably bordering on 2 weeks ago now, and like all manner of evidence and information is in the news. I'm not going to go into too much detail here. I just want to go over the basics really, because as I said to you earlier, I've found this fantastic timeline from Reddit. Apologies, I can't remember who originally posted it, but the original, I'll put it in the sources, the original poster has done like an excellent job of documenting, and it's like step by step, and they've compiled it from all the information out there that's been put out since the trial started. So it's really good. It's a good breakdown, and it did change how I felt a little bit.
I'm gonna read this,
like, yeah, like I say, links in the sources, you really check it out for like a blow by blow in terms of times, dates, incidents, and what the prosecution are using from that, or like alleging from that. It's very interesting. But as a brief overview, Lucy Letby was always on shift when these incidents on the neonatal unit happened. When she went on holiday, incidents lessened like dramatically, yeah. Like nothing out of the ordinary happened.
The correlation was strong.
Absolutely. And again, like, we need to remember that this is a neonatal unit. So the patients on these wards they're not in good health as such anyway. They are at high risk. I'm not saying that forgives anything, but what I'm saying is, like, people, you know, babies, yeah, and it's terrible, but babies do die, and it's absolutely horrible, but it does happen.
It's not hugely uncommon.
No, and Lucy Letby is alleged to have injected air into the babies, like NG tubes or feeding tubes, as well as causing traumatic injuries to patients. Mm. Like, she is regularly documented as being at the affected, like, patients' bedsides, despite not being, like, their assigned nurse. They've found paperwork from the ward, or like the room that she was working in, from when certain incidents happened, when babies have died. It looks like she may have removed like official documentation from the ward relating to these particular patients.
Right.
So that for me is something I can't really explain away. Do you know, like, if I was trying to rationalise it?
Yeah.
That has to be massively dodgy in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's kept paperwork from related to certain incidents. So as well as, like, falsifying records of, like, feeds and feeding times and certain medications. So when they've, like, checked the time against her, like, swipe card, because these units are secure,
right,
and then okay. Checked the documentation against, like, feeds,
it doesn't add up.
It's like she'll say it says in her documentation that she's been there at an earlier time or a slightly later time, and in that time frame something potentially, like, bad has happened.
Right.
Or that patient has, you know, deteriorated. Mm-hmm. As well as that, they have found pictures of the babies on her phone. And they've also managed to find that she has searched for the parents of these babies on Facebook.
I heard about that today.
There are lots of other things that just read as red flags, or at least odd and worrying. And I know you mentioned about this, but there were items found within her house when the police searched it, and among those items were handwritten notes, like post-it notes and things like that. And like on some of them, 1 minute she's proclaiming her innocence, you know, like, why is this happening to me? I've done nothing wrong. And then potentially incriminating herself within the next. So, like, I'm a terrible person. You know, I wasn't good enough to save them, or things along those lines. I guess there's a small discussion point there, because her defense are saying that these notes are the ramblings of somebody that's in a high stress situation. Like, she doesn't know what's happening, she's being accused of everything, and because, and she may be innocent, so she's like rationalizing what's happening to her by making these notes. And I can kind of understand that. And one has to wonder if she was starting to suspect that people were onto her, which I'm sure she would have.
Yeah.
Why would she have things like that in her house? Like, it seems really strange to me. I work in a hospital, and this case has been like a good topic of conversation recently. You know, nurses talking about it and giving their opinions and stuff. And like, and I've read a lot from like other neonatal nurses and their opinions on this case. And one thing that I've taken from it is that quite a lot of them are finding it hard to understand how Lucy Letby like managed to get away with this for so long.
Yeah.
Like, I know even in my department, and it's not, you know, it's very different to the neonatal unit, like completely different. But the paper trail on, you know, like the smallest procedure, the smallest manoeuvre, how everything's logged and, you know, time and date stamped, everything's evidenced in the NHS, to, you know, especially on wards. And I find it hard to believe that she could get away with it without anyone questioning. I just find it all being like a backup of movement.
You probably have a lot more insight than me, because all I'm thinking is like, well, Shipman got away with it, well, Beverly Allitt got away with it.
Yeah, there are lots of cases where people have gone away with it for a long time.
But I think like I said, you have a lot more idea of how rigorously things are checked.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I am being naive because I've never worked in the neonatal unit. But just from what I've read as well, people are saying that it's very rare to have like one nurse on their own in a room, you know, because there would be several babies. And then other nurses saying it's not strange for you to check on a patient that isn't your patient.
Yeah.
Because obviously if a baby's in distress and you're there, then you're just going to bob over and check they're okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I know, like I just said, I'm not privy to all the information, but I just find it really, there's like a lot, it seems a lot of circumstantial evidence.
Are you saying that if she's not guilty, someone else is? Or are you saying if she's not guilty, this is all a coincidence? Just out of interest.
I genuinely don't know. Like, I'm so, like, scattered on it, because part of me thinks potentially extremely guilty here. Yeah. There's another part of me that thinks I really hope she is guilty, because if she isn't, then they have ruined her life.
100%.
I'm just, like, from what I'm reading, like, even the experts are giving, like, you know, testifying to in support of a theory, but then always adding at the bottom, but that can happen in these cases.
That's so interesting, because up until you've said all this, just from what little I know, but also my, you know, like, where your mind instantly goes,
yeah,
I think if it's got this far, she's guilty.
Yeah, my gut says that she is, and I feel like she will more than likely be found guilty.
Isn't the CCTV in hospitals?
In some places, but not everywhere. There's that realist side of me that's like, loads of people have done it before, and they've only been discovered after killing like 50 plus victims, you know. So surely she could have got away with it. Pretty much that's the case, but I was just going to bring up a little discussion point with you about, we probably touched on it at the beginning, in terms of like angels of death, you know, like why do they do it? You mentioned Beverly Allitt, I've put her down here, but have you ever heard of Janine Jones?
No.
Because she sort of reminded me of Lucy Letby. She was found guilty. She appeared, like, she killed babies as well. She was, like, heavily religiously, like, motivated. She used to, like, do crosses, like, over the top of children with, like, water and stuff and things. It was,
oh, wow.
She did really weird things. Mm. Like, she stole the corpse of a dead baby off a mother and, like, ran away with it so she could take it to the morgue herself. She was totally, like, yeah, she'd blown him. But she used to get a psychological rush out of injecting, like, her victims with something, like, that would harm them. So, like, I definitely will not be able to pronounce this, but succinyl choline. But, like, she basically, it would cause an adverse reaction, and then she'd rush in and be the saviour, and, like,
that was like a Beverly Allen thing.
Yeah, and there are bits, like, that does present in Lucy Letby's case. There are a few occasions where she's been present when some of the babies have been resuscitated, and then possibly, thankfully, transferred to another hospital.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened because of Lucy Letby's case within the hospital as well. Like, they got to a point where they actually weren't allowed to, like, have high-risk patients. Like, they had to be sent to other hospitals.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. But there's even, have you heard of, like, Charles Cullen?
That rings bells, go on.
So he was another sort of angel of death. Killer nurse, and he's the one. Do you remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that film called The Good Nurse?
Yeah,
that's coming out pretty soon on Netflix.
Yeah.
So he's, like, the inspiration for that. He's, like, pretty much what it's like. He's what the program is based on. But yeah, he killed, like, they estimate 60 plus victims. I did contemplate covering him, but I just didn't have enough time to do the case justice. But he's quite a fascinating character because, like you were saying before, Lucy's childhood appears to be quite, calm seas, as it were, in direct contrast to Charles Cullen, who's, like, he tried to kill himself, like, 20 times, but the first time was when he was, like, 9 years old. Oh, and he drank, like, the contents of, like, a chemistry set because he was so unhappy. Yeah, loads of stuff went on in his childhood where you'd be like, oh, this is serial killer bingo or something. He ticks all the boxes. But we don't see that in Lucy Letby. So,
That struck me when you were sort of how unlikely I would have said it for her to turn out to be a serial killer.
Yeah. It's very strange.
It is, like you said, thinking about sort of the motives of why someone would, for instance, put themselves through such a difficult educational path to then do that at the end of it. I'm going to be so interested to actually follow this case.
That, yeah, definitely.
I do think that I'm going to cover Harold Shipman
at
some point, which is such a huge case to cover. But also, I was thinking about this is a slight tangent, I think I've always thought, oh, it's too big to cover, but that's, everybody knows who he is. So I think I'm starting from a base point of everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, I guess it depends how much attention you want to spend on the victims as well, isn't it? Because there's so many people, so many. And we never want to be disrespectful.
No.
But I think people understand in such a huge case.
Yeah, and a lot of his victims have, a lot of his victims' families, I should say, have chosen to stay away from the limelight, and that is absolutely fair enough.
Yeah.
And some people want to speak and come forward and say, this happened to me and this is terrible and this could never happen again, which is also a completely valid standpoint. So
yeah.
I would in no way be trying to cover all of his victims.
No.
In any depth. Whilst also mentioning that they're all just as important and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so the motives behind Harold Shipman I find fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I think there's two.
Oh, okay.
I think there's two. Win notes when done. But I think money as well. But I think that's a secondary motive. I think first is the power of...
Yeah, definitely.
When you were saying about injecting... When he was injecting the diamorphine and feeling like God and feeling like this powerful presence and the decider. And I think that's the primary motive. He only got caught because of the secondary motive of the money.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah, definitely. People in positions of power, especially medically.
Oh, yeah. There was a report done, actually, I think, like a few years ago, and it basically focused on social workers and, like, nurses, healthcare workers, and it said that a large percentage of them, like, that was something that they enjoyed about their job, was the feeling of power that they had over people. You know, for some people, yeah, a small amount of power is sufficient, and yeah, for others, it's not.
But also, it's how you choose to use that power. Yeah. I would say working in a position of power medically and saying you enjoy that power doesn't necessarily have to be a sinister thing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. But clearly for some, it really is.
Definitely. Well, thank you for expanding on that case and bringing me up to date with the real world.
You're welcome.
I will be following that and I will be checking out the sources, because that timeline sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I will send it through to you later, actually. It's really worth a read.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So we're back next week with a pretty exciting case.
Yeah, a creepy one, right? I think it's a creepy one. So yeah, we shall see you all next week, and stay safe and warm because it's getting colder.
Hi. See you soon.
Bye.